It's Marketplace Tech for Wednesday the 15th. I'm Adrienne Hill, in for Ben Johnson. According to a new ruling from a D.C. federal court, the FCC can define high-speed internet as a utility, which means telecommunications companies can't send different internet content at different speeds, basically upholding what's known as net neutrality. Columbia Law professor Tim Wu is credited with coming up with the term.
What's good about it is it sounds sort of official. I mean, it's worked. I've learned in life that, you know, what sticks is not always predictable.
Wu says net neutrality gives people access to whatever content they want to access.
A big part of that is that the gatekeepers, the phone and cable companies, aren't able to control what happens on the internet. And basically, net neutrality institutionalizes this principle of non-control that, you know, you're just carrying the bits. You're just moving stuff, and whatever the public decides to do with the internet, that's what they're going to do with it.
Not all of the people carrying the bits are happy with the ruling. Some of the big telecommunications companies have vowed to appeal the case to the Supreme Court. Across the country, a different sort of tech excitement. Less legal, more tingly.
Knowing everything hinges on a guy from Queens sounds as scary as it feels.
E3 is underway in Los Angeles, a video game convention that draws tens of thousands of journalists and industry folks. This week, Sony announced a whole bunch of new titles, including a new Spider-Man game and new VR technology for the PlayStation. Microsoft revealed plans for new gaming systems. Ben Howard has been checking all of it out. He's the VP of content at GameSpot. Thanks so much for ducking out of all the craziness for a minute to be with us.
Oh, absolute pleasure.
Let's talk about Sony first. They announced a whole slew of games that people are excited about, but they also set a formal release date for their PlayStation VR and announced a bunch of games that'll be available to play in VR. Is this finally that moment that we've been talking about for so long? When VR comes to gaming?
This is a really crucial point for VR because many of the devices are now out. What's critical now is that we get people to actually invest in the technology and start to use it. And so what we're seeing a lot of is a lot of software announcements, but we're also seeing really big franchises and IP being brought into VR. We've seen a Star Trek game, we've seen a Star Wars game,
we saw Final Fantasy,
Fallout, which is a huge title last year. Trying to bring in that audience by getting them excited by big, recognizable blockbuster stuff in VR is going to be critical.
And so, is there anxiety at E3 around whether or not this is actually going to work?
It's very easy to get excited inside the bubble of the industry, I think, is a key thing, right? Whether consumers and whether it's ready for prime time, that's the critical thing. It's an expensive technology for starters, right? I mean, even the PlayStation VR starts at $400.
Right.
And that's before you've bought a camera and the controllers and other things as well. The Vive and the Oculus can cost $700-$800, right? So these are not cheap devices, and actually the industry's had a tough enough time getting people to move between console platforms, let alone investing in a whole new technology on top of that.
So other news coming out of E3, EA and Activision are both don't have booths this year. What do you read into that? Is that a problem for E3?
I think it's how you define what E3 is.
Right.
You know, if you define E3 as a trade show floor with booths on it, yes, EA and Activision are not on the show floor. But are they at E3? Absolutely. I mean, they're showing the games to us, the media.
They still had their press conferences.
They have a big press conferences. You know, EA is just across the street from the LACC at the Staples Center, showing their games off to the press, but also to the public. That is a debate that's been going on around E3 for a few years, is does this show need to be more about not just the press? Does it need to be about the games consumer themselves?
Ben Howard is the VP of content for GameSpot. Thanks so much.
Pleasure. Thank you.
The Internet of Things is invading the kitchen with more and more devices that promise to make our home life easier. Over at CNET, Editor-in-Chief Lindsay Turrentine and her staff have been checking them out. I asked her what technology can and can't do in the kitchen.
We have not figured out how to move food from the refrigerator to the oven. That hasn't happened yet. We don't have robots to load our dishwashers, unfortunately. We can't just incinerate the food. But we're really excited about smart sous vide. You might not even know what sous vide
is. No, please. Enlighten me.
Sous vide means cooking food in a plastic bag in a water bath. These machines sit on your countertop, and some of them, there are a couple of smart ones coming. There's one from a company called Mellow, and these machines connected to Wi-Fi will actually keep your food cold in the water bath.
Oh, nice.
And then when it's time to cook it, we'll cook it to the perfect temperature and hold it there. So it's a really smart way to take care of that undercooking, overcooking food safety problem. And sous vide is actually a fabulous cooking method. It makes really good tasting food. It's not cheap. $600 for this little countertop device. But it's a pretty interesting concept.
Are there any sort of cheap, interesting workarounds that I can make my kitchen maybe a little bit smarter without shelling out hundreds or thousands of dollars?
There's actually another company called Anova, which is a wand that does essentially the same thing. You just stick it down in the pot.
Huh.
It doesn't cool your food, but that costs $170 and it cooks your food in a water bath and it has Wi-Fi.
So it's summer and I've been doing a lot of grilling. Lots of people have been doing a lot of grilling. Any tech to help me grill better or not undercook my chicken like I did last night?
There are some really cool smart grilling devices. The sort of most obvious is a thermometer that actually talks to an app on your phone so that instead of having to stand near the thermometer or wait to hear the little beep, you can wander around your property or your house and then your phone will just tell you when your meat is close to the temperature you want it to be.
Lindsay Turrentine is the editor-in-chief of CNET. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Thermometer, yes. The sous vide machine, I'm not as sure. I wonder if the future will regard it as more like the fondue pot, decidedly unnecessary in most home kitchens, or the slow cooker, making the job of cooking dinner that much easier. I'm Adrienne Hill, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.